Welcome back. Thanks for listening, you guys. It's Thursday. Not just any old Thursday, though. It's a throwback Thursday. Duh. Which means coming up at 11:30, we're going to play a little throwback Thursday music trivia.
Donna's the one in the hot seat. I'm the one asking the questions. Grant is the one playing the music that makes it very dramatic. And you get to play along wherever you happen to be.
And yell at your radio.
Yeah.
Or your device, whatever.
I hope we go back to the 90s again. That would be fun.
I hate the 90s. We need to go back to the 80s.
11:30 today. Stick around, Donna. You're going to love it. You're going to have a great time. You're going to do really well.
I really can't wait. I know. I always do. I always do. I'm a star.
Yeah, you haven't missed one yet this year.
I know. It's amazing.
Technically. If, on the topic of music, NBC is bringing back live musicals, which they had started doing a few years ago, this holiday season, and it will be Annie. Annie, the live musical coming to NBC this holiday season. I tell you that, and Donna, you react how?
Yuck.
Okay.
I hate it. It's stale. It's
chuggy. Okay. All right, now we're throwing around chuggy.
Yep, we're going to throw it around every chance we get.
Once we're trying to get ahead of chuggy.
We should have a buzzer go off or something every time we say chuggy.
That's chuggy. And it should be millennial
Hannah
saying,
yes. Can we get say that? And then we'll have Rocco give it and I'll just drop it and I'll just, that's chuggy.
We are doing a chuggy breakdown today on Twin Cities Live at Host Chat to show some pictures of here's what chuggy looks like.
Well, and before we get out of here today, our longtime listener, Aaron, has sent us a chuggy parody song.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
That is very fun.
Yeah. So great.
We'll get to that coming up around 11:45. So stick around for that.
Okay. So since I think you're misusing chuggy, what is chuggy here? Is it Annie or is it NBC doing live musicals and us enjoying them or what is it?
I think it's televising a live musical. It's not, I don't think it's fun. Maybe it's a matter of subjectiveness. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
I don't like to see bad lighting on my TV of somebody dancing their way. I hate it.
Would you be more inclined to watch and enjoy it if it was pre-taped and produced?
Yes. I think so.
Yep.
Kind of like Hamilton?
Yeah, I don't need the stress of wondering if somebody's going to stumble and fall or forget their line.
That's right. I forgot the weird
the anxiety
things
that stress TV watching.
Yeah, I know. I have to get a prescription before watching this crap.
You feel that way. You feel the same way watching Annie live as I do watching Cirque du Soleil. I think someone's going to die. That's where I think you should feel like, oh, someone's going to fall. Someone's going to get hurt. And they've had tragic accidents that have happened on the set of Cirque du Soleil. That gives me anxiety. Annie, if they trip over a cable, I'm good with that.
Sorry, quick note, Steve. I have witnessed, I might have told you guys this, but when I witnessed a tragic life-ending accident at a circus here at the St. Paul XL Energy Center with my friend and his little daughter, a lady was doing the silk rope thing, then all of a sudden she's hanging, and then it kind of does this, and then she fell 40 feet straight head first right down, 20 feet in front of me. They tried to keep it going for about 15 minutes, and then eventually they shut the show down. I mean, it was...
that is really tragic.
Right in front of me. I was 24
years old. So you would never go see a Cirque du Soleil show?
I'll never go to a circus again, ever. That was the most... I mean, right in front of me.
Yeah, that tight wire and all that, those acrobats.
Yeah, I want a net everywhere.
They got sued because technically in Minnesota, you're supposed to have a net because it happened like 20 years ago here, and so Minnesota would not allow circuses without nets for dangerous stuff like that. So they were doing it without a net, breaking the rules, and then they ended up getting in trouble because of it.
I don't remember this story. Oh, wow, that's really tragic. When I was a kid, I don't know if my parents had a movie on or what, but I don't know if it was about the Willendas. Is that their names?
Yes, yep.
So, and they were on a tightrope, and below the tightrope were all these knives that were standing up to create more anticipation of danger and all that. And I don't know if the person ended up falling. And it wasn't a documentary or anything. I think it was just a, you know, like a Sunday night movie. And I think that might be part of the reason, like some of these things that I saw when I was a kid that create that stress in me, that agita.
Well, as an unlicensed therapist, I would tell you this, that maybe not that bad of things could happen on Annie.
Yes.
So maybe you could give it a shot.
The sun will come out tomorrow.
Light drops on her head. Boom. No.
This was back in 2004 by the guys. It was May of 2004
oh
that it happened.
Gosh,
yeah.
It's so tragic.
Lord. Yikes.
Crazy.
Sorry. Well, all right.
Well, anyway, NBC is bringing back musicals. Annie Live will be happening over the holiday season. Do you have a favorite musical? Great. I'll start. Phantom of the Opera. For me,
I saw it twice. I don't love it.
Okay. Well, my mom used to play the soundtrack to Phantom of the Opera on her CD player.
Then
I started listening and I love the music. There are so many Phantom haters out there. I love the songs in that Think of Me, Music of the Night, of course, the Phantom of the Opera. They are just so beautiful. And then my mom took me to see it. And she had always told me about it. And at one point, don't get scared, Donna. You'd probably run out or pee your pants. But the chandelier drops.
Yeah. No, I've seen this show a couple of times. I've been there. And there was a malfunction the first time that I went to the show.
Oh, no.
I think it was the Orpheum. And the chandelier got stuck. It was supposed to fall, but it got stuck. So then they started the show over again.
Oh, no.
See, it's very stressful.
Yeah. This is scar tissue. You can't watch this.
No, Aida is really good, though. I like that music. Is that how you say it? Aida?
Avida?
Aida?
Aida what?
Come on. It's about the girl who's in the museum. Aida?
Aida.
No, am I making Aida? That up?
Not Avida, to be clear. I'm asking.
I think it's called Aida. Am I making it up?
Evita is a musical.
No, I never saw that.
Okay, now that concentrates on the life of the political leader from Argentina.
Right.
Eva Perón. Give me a little more
Aida,
Music of the Night there.
It's based... Yeah, I got it right. It's Aida. Elton John did the music, lyrics by Tim Rice. Yeah.
No, that's Evita.
Aida.
Evita is written by music by Andrew Lloyd Webber, lyrics by Tim Rice.
Steve.
Who's on first one?
It's Aida.
How do you spell it?
A-I-D-A.
Okay, I'm talking about E-V-I-T-A.
I know you are, but I'm not.
But yours has Tim Rice too?
Okay.
Yes.
Let's take
correct.
A break.
I don't want to.
We have. We really, really should.
I'm going to take off.
No.
Please.
When we come back, we have a study. As the weather warms up, when does summer officially start for you? Is it a date? Is it when the weather gets a certain way? We'll tell you what the majority of folks say to that. I have a very specific date in mind. That's coming up next on Donna and Steve on My Talk. Hey, big shout out to our friends at Chill Boys for sponsoring our podcast.
Yes, Chill Boys is local. They make really comfortable and cooling men's underwear. The fabric is breathable and flexible because it's made from bamboo with a little smidge of spandex, and you could get a great deal right now on your first purchase.
Yeah, you go to chillboys.com and then use the promo code MYTALK when you're there. What will await you besides a great deal? How about the most comfortable fabric that you will ever put over your nether regions? You need to believe me when I tell you that because it's true. I've tried all sorts of different kinds, including some really big names out there that say we have the most comfortable. Nay, said the horse, you do not. The Chill Boys are so comfortable. They're made of this bamboo fabric, which is just like made up of cumulonimbus clouds. It feels so good. It is so cool. And my groin has been super happy with me ever since I made the switch.
Good to know. Great for biking, hiking, fishing, working out. No wedgies, no chafing, no odor. You guys, you got to try these.
Go to chillboys.com. Don't forget to use that promo code MYTALK. Chill Boys, comfort where it counts.
Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment.
Good morning, everybody.
Go ahead and get it out of your system.
My tree. Oh, big nasty. Guess what? Big Nasty's trees just arrived.
Oh.
In boxes.
Studies have shown that the microbes.
Several long-term studies have shown.
Donna. They've studied the studies.
Several scientific studies have shown.
And here with their findings are study buddies.
The perfect nerd couple.
Donna and Steve.
Let me just... Donna, let me just tell you that... Last night I was at Home Depot. I had to pick up another tree.
Oh my God, I would have met you there.
Never.
Were you picking up sandpaper?
I go there to pick up a tree, and I'm behind these arborvitae, and then I hear this, oh my gosh, I've been waiting to run into you here.
Oh no.
I was like, ah!
Your worst nightmare.
And it was this lovely woman who happens to be a gardening expert, and you know, first word out of her mouth, you and these trees. Then Stevie Boy's in line, and he's got an arborvitae, potting soil, etc. Woman walks right up, Steve, where did you buy your trees? I'm just saying I have started a movement.
Revolution.
In the world of trees. I didn't mean to. Oh, so the tree industry is doing really well. Not my intent. But it happened. Anyway, I'll take a picture of the boxes.
Okay.
Look like
everyone's
there's...
waiting with bated breath.
Okay, though.
I have a study and it has to do with summer.
Make it good.
Okay, so officially, I always thought summer started on June 21st. I guess this year it's June 20th. But according to a new survey, the majority of people say summer really starts when...
Memorial Day weekend hits.
No. When it's 75 degrees outside.
That's stupid. You can't do that in Minnesota.
Yeah.
We would have thought it was summer like a month and a half ago.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. But 59% of people say it doesn't start on a specific date.
It does. Memorial Day.
Oh, I agree. That's when we start getting out.
The pools are open.
Opening up the cabins.
Yes.
Yes.
Other people say the top signs. Excuse me. Bigger name on the other line.
Oh, yeah. I love
my God.
I love your...
Oh, good for you.
So... A friend of mine just texted.
Is it Bobby?
Oh my God, these bleeping trees.
First of all, I know who it is. It's Bobby Jensen, who called in last week and said, what do you even want these trees for? You never even answered that. What do you even want these for? And then I started having to ask questions. We had 30 seconds. We were going to break. I got 5 trees right now on the porch in long cardboard boxes, and they say open immediately, live plants inside.
Okay.
I have to open them. I hope that all 5 of the trees are there. But remember, these are going to look super pathetic when I plant them. But then by the end of the summer, people are going to be flocking to me. I see what's happening. Jensen is afraid. He is for a long time. It's been Bobby Jensen. And it's been Larry Farr, the 2 gardening experts here in the Twin Cities. And they're sensing that there could be a third fighter in the ring now.
Whatever.
Now that people come up to the chair.
Listen, people are coming up to me at Home Depot saying, tell me where you got your trees, asking me tree questions.
Like, where'd you get your trees?
Yes.
That's not exactly a tree question, not for an expert.
What does it take to be an arborist? Not much more than what I've done this last week.
What are you doing with those arborvitaes?
What are you even doing with those trees? You even answered that question yet, you little punk? That was Bobby Jensen last week with me.
What are you doing with the arborvitaes? Are you going to patio?
I'm going to patio. Well, here was the problem. All right, now screw it. We're in it.
No, well, here's the other things.
Yeah, okay.
Going to a barbecue. It's hot enough to grab ice cream from an ice cream truck, and you can go swimming outside. I think the swimming is pretty... telltale.
Yes.
When the pool's open, it feels like it.
All right.
Back to the trees. So you know how I planted the Golden Curls willow tree in a big planter on my patio? And I, being an idiot, was like, this will be great. It'll add drama and height and something other than an evergreen on the patio, on the deck, rather. Everybody emailed me on Twin Cities Live. I said, if you know how this will go for me, tell me. And they all said, that tree's going to die. It will not survive any winter. You have to get it out. But all of my arborvitae did survive last winter in their pots, except for one, which sucked hard and I had to get rid of, but it started sucking. It sucked at the beginning. So I have to get that arborvitae to put in that big planter where the Golden Curls willow tree is now. The arborvitae is going to go there as a little privacy hedge up on the deck. And then the Golden Curls willow, I'll find a new place for that. But now the other ones, thank you for asking the follow-up questions, guys. Wow, if you're watching on video, you're seeing the level of interest that I'm dealing with here with Grant and Donna.
Hey, what? I'm listening to Spotify with someone talking.
I'm working on our podcast.
You guys are like, my wife went to walk. She said, honest to God, I said, look at that oak. And she said, I just want to punch you. Can you just stop? Not everything is about a tree. Could you just stop for a second?
Oh, this is me in politics at home. Lily just walks away.
I have five. The five trees are those three hybrid poplars and then the two Austrian willows. Okay? And that's where I'm going to, that's what I'm doing. And I'm going to plant them. I'd plant them tonight, but my tax guy's coming over. I know. It's a pretty sexy life I live.
I'm doing my taxes tonight, too. Hey.
Oh, dude, we're blood brothers.
There we are.
But maybe tomorrow night I'll just dig right in so it doesn't take up the whole Saturday. I don't know.
We want to see pictures on Monday, Steve.
No, we don't.
Yes, he said it.
We do not.
Why do you care about my arborvitae, huh?
I just want to know what you're doing with that thing. Why are you buying them if you're not planting them? I don't really want to know.
And I have another arborvitae that I got over the weekend, smaller one, that I'm going to put somewhere else. And then I'm done.
You say that now, but you'll be creeping right back into that corner real quick.
I do love what I've been learning.
You get
last night, two nights ago, I ended my night with habanero cheese on Ritz crackers, and then I went down to the basement and searched videos of Austrian willow growth rates on YouTube, and I could not have been more content.
Most of us sit down, glass of wine, put on their favorite TV show, cheese and crackers and some trees about, you know, how they grow. That's Steve's Thursday night. Wednesday.
Seriously, you watch some of these growth rate videos, it'll blow your mind.
Meanwhile, his wife is Googling how to kill your husband.
Can I kill a husband with a tree?
Yeah, can I bury him under the tree?
Can a branch penetrate someone's neck?
Oh, Steve, you are very different.
What do you think Bobby would do if it was just me and Bobby Jensen at coffee? Would he punch me at some point, do you think?
Or stab you.
All right, Throwback Thursday music trivia.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
We're going to play it next. And because Donna is just one of my besties, it's 80s edition. 80s music Throwback Thursday trivia is coming up next. Play along wherever you happen to be. It'll be a game together. It's coming up next. Donna, Steve, my time.
Warm weather is finally here. It's summertime and the perfect time to join the Y. The Y has outdoor pools and splash decks at locations throughout the area for fun days with family and friends. And here's the best part. If you join by May 13th, you'll get $5 enrollment and 25% off dues for the whole summer. Swim on over to ymcanorth.org and join today. Thanks for listening to the Donna and Steve Show on My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment. Donna Valentine, that's me. Steve Patterson, that's that guy. Hmm? Producer, what's his name?
Grant.
Yeah, Producer Grant is with us as well.
Shut up. You're Producer Ra-Ra. Okay. She's been gone for a year.
About it. I know. It's okay. I'm saying it's okay.
Hey, Grant. Definitely Grant.
Always. Oh, look at this. It's good to know you.
Rewind, shall we? Donna and Steve present Throwback Thursday.
We need to go back in time.
We gotta go old school. Any questions about the old days?
Why, yes, there are. It's time for Steve Patterson to quiz longtime radio disc jockey Donna Valentine on old school tunes.
Well, this just sounds like a blast to me.
Steve, watch out. Throw it back, yeah?
Alrighty, we have decided to tailor today's Throwback Thursday music trivia segment to Taylor? What Donna has asked. No, not Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Calm down.
Right, sorry, I blew up.
Jeez Louise. Donna, this is a time when you were really locked and loaded in the music scene?
Mm-hmm.
80s?
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. Formative years, you know? Those were my formative years.
Yes, yes, Queen. So with that, we begin. Cue the music. Which 1987 Whitney Houston single became her fourth consecutive U.S. number one and her first U.S. platinum selling single? 1987.
I'm just going to throw out an answer, and I'm going to say The Greatest Love of All.
Okay.
Vinyl.
No, whoa.
It's not
whoa.
My vinyl. I was just faking you out.
All right. You probably, I'll give you a hint. You probably look a little bit awkward when you do this.
I want to dance with somebody.
You got it.
Yeah!
Nice, Donna.
Woo! Every time that bell rings, I'm going to pound my chest.
Oh, okay, cool. Like King Kong style?
Yeah.
Nice, Donna. That's Thanks. A really good addition to this segment. Hey, Grant, don't double ding that, man. Seriously.
she just gave me the golden ticket. All right.
One down.
Music. Some of these will be very easy, Donna.
Okay.
Which two pop superstars duetted on Ebony and Ivory, which became a number one hit in 1982?
Got it.
I would have never guessed this, by the way.
Shoot. I thought it was Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney. Ebony and Ivory. I think it is.
Nice vibrato.
Thanks, Steve. I'm going to stick with that answer.
You're exactly right, yeah! Donna. Woo! Very good. Paul McCartney, Michael Jackson. That song came out in 1982, went to number one, Ebony and Ivory.
Good tune.
Cue the music. Which Irene Cara song from the movie of the same name won the 1980 Academy Award for Best Original Song?
That would be Flashdance, Bob. Final answer.
Hang on a second.
Oh, no.
I like that you're in the F zone with your words. Not Flashdance.
Which Irene Cara tune that came from the movie of the same name
won the 1980 Academy Award for Best Original Song?
First when there's nothing.
Uh-oh, headphones just came off, everybody. She's working out usually what is an incorrect melody. Her brain doesn't work
that But I got
way.
The right song, right?
I don't know. It's a four-letter word that starts with F. Oh, she's now plugging her ears.
A four-letter word that starts with F.
Yeah.
So this is from the movie Flashdance.
It is not.
This is not from the movie Flashdance.
Correct. You're really in on Flashdance here. I'm trying to figure
out.
Because
when I think of Irene Cara, that's what I think of. So it's a four-letter word. So
Grant, I bet when you and I think of Irene Cara, we think, who now? Do you know Irene Cara, Grant?
No.
I've never said those two words back to back. Never.
Okay, so let's think of four-letter words that start with F.
Play along at home, kids.
I'll have the dump button ready.
Fork.
Fork is a word that is meets that criteria, but it's incorrect.
Funds.
Funds, the plural of fun, is where we've gone to.
Farb.
Farb's not a word, and that's only our third guess. Donna, some people would say that you have achieved this in your life.
And it starts with an F.
And it's four letters.
What could it possibly be? Why? Freak? No. Flub?
Maybe someone would recognize you when you're out at the bar.
Got it. Fame! I'm gonna live forever. I'm gonna learn how to fly.
Nice.
Thank you. Wow, that was rough. Okay.
Does that all of that connect now?
Of course. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Cue the music.
Actually became a TV series. Fame.
Which Norwegian group sang Take On Me in the year 1984?
That'd be Aha, Bob.
Nice, Donna.
Thank you.
Now we're back.
Okay, she's back. Don't worry about her.
Cue the music.
Oh, I forgot.
Oh, she's still beating her chest like King Kong, guys. I really wish you could see this. Which singer starred in the 1985 movie Desperately Seeking Susan?
Got it. The actress was Rosanna Arquette, who starred alongside of Madonna.
Nice, Donna.
Yeah, woo! Thank
hey,
you.
You know what you are? You're Madonna. Like Madonna.
That's great.
Cue the music. Which friend did Bruce Springsteen invite onto stage to dance with him in the music video for 1984's Dancing in the Dark? What a great song.
That would be Courtney Cox, final.
Come on. You're crushing it,
See,
Donna.
I told
You're doing
you this
really
is my
good.
Jam. I'm the 80s girl.
Cue the music. This was the first U.S. number one hit for Hall & Oates.
Hmm. All right, I'm going to go deep cut here. Rich girl. You're a rich girl.
You're a right girl. Yeah! Way to go. She's a rich girl. You can rely on the old man money. You can rely on the old man money.
It's up, girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Nice edit.
Thanks.
Cue the music. The Power of Love, a song which gave Huey Lewis and the News their first U.S. Billboard Hot 100 number one single,
mm-hmm.
was the theme song to this 1985 movie.
So this is the movie with Michael J. Fox and the guy from Taxi, with the DeLorean, and the name of that movie is Back to the Future. Bam!
Woo!
Yeah! I get there. I just need a little time.
So that was true? You weren't just stretching for time?
Correct.
Like for time to fill the segment?
No, I have to think it out. I have to play word association and get there.
You were so brave.
Thank you.
That's something a lot of us see.
Thanks a lot.
Cue the music. We got to get a little harder here.
No. Things are going good.
Which artist launched their Sirius Moonlight Tour in 1983 in support of their album, Let's Dance?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm using there as a pronoun to not give away gender.
Got it. Okay, so... You mind if I call you Wink?
Not at all. Wink Martindale?
Yep. I'm going to say Bowie, Wink.
You're right,
yeah,
Donna.
Yeah, thank you.
Wink Martindale came into Reels when I worked there to do something.
Oh, here we go.
I'm just saying, and I think he was...
good for you!
Look, I think he had something that appeared like almost like a velvet slipper. I remember very fancy shoes. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if I'm remembering that right or not.
We have a phone call that has an objection to one of these questions. Dennis is with us. We want to talk to Dennis real quick.
Sure.
Dennis, what is your objection to one of these questions?
Hey, Dennis.
So, Ebony and Ivory...
Yes.
Was not Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney. It was Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney.
That was my second guess, was Stevie Wonder, because then I remember him doing a parody of it on Saturday Night Live.
Yes, the one that they sang together was Say, Say, Say.
Say, Say, Say. You're right, Dennis.
Really?
Guess what, Dennis? You win.
Is he really right?
The Karen Award of the day.
No, it makes me feel good because I'm not the one getting the questions wrong.
Well, it is funny. It's funny.
You are right.
Because I did write down Stevie, but I said Michael. See, there he is. Michael, but that was my second guess. Thank you, Dennis.
Dennis, way to go. Nice call, man. Yeah,
you're the man.
Bye-bye.
By the way, let me just be clear about my source for these. I don't know if any of them are right.
Did they have Michael Jackson down as the correct answer?
Yes. Yeah.
Huh.
TriviaArmy.com. Let's see what other things may or may not be correct. Cue the music. Which English star provided guest backing vocals for Dire Straits' 1985 hit Money for Nothing?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Which English star provided guest backing vocals for Dire Straits' 1985 hit, Money for Nothing?
Okay, so Dire Straits, is this like Mark Knopfler?
She's a rich girl!
Then there's Dire Straits, Money for Nothing. That was a great song, wasn't it? I know the history of the song.
Oh, interesting.
He walked into a Best Buy, saw a bunch of guys watching MTV, and thought...
I could do that.
Yeah. Like, look at these guys. They're not doing anything. They're getting money for free.
This English star achieved success as part of a group and as a solo act.
English speaking, like, from the... country of England.
I think that's what it means.
I'm going to need a hint. I'm not going to...
You get this from a bee.
Oh, so it was Sting.
Nice.
Final.
Nice job. Nice job.
Thanks, Steve.
That's all we have time for today,
guys. All right.
Guys.
Thank you for that. That was quite fun. Enjoyable.
80s edition of Throwback Thursday Music Trivia.
Thank you.
That.
Me
Good
like
job,
that.
Donna.
Thanks
you did
a
great.
Lot. Thanks.
When we come back, why don't we end with a little Elon Musk news?
Okay, and then I have a Chuggy parody song to share with you.
Oh, wonderful. We'll get into both of those things when we come back. It's Donna and Steve on My Talk.
Final stretch of the Donna and Steve show on My Talk, 107.1, Everything Entertainment. We learned a new word from Hannah this week. Chuggy. Chuggy. Some TikToker made it up and said, you know, there are things that are chuggy, meaning you still think they're cool, but they're not, right? That's a good way to sum it up, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Sorry, I was getting caught up in some bullcrap emails that are coming through internally.
People are
right
telling
now.
You to show a little more respect.
A little more respect.
For what?
Okay, well, let's just get right to
all
it.
Right.
All right. So, somebody posted, I don't know if this is on Twitter or on our Facebook page. Steve, remember earlier you thought I was saying Evita and I was saying Aida?
Aida, yes.
Aida is a musical, great music, and it's the story of a Nubian princess enslaved by the Egyptians. Not only is it a musical by Elton John, it's also an opera by Verdi.
And then she said, please show more respect when someone else knows something you don't. Still love you, man. I was really convinced you were mispronouncing Evita. And then you said Tim Rice or whoever the dude was.
Yeah,
and then
Tim Rice and Elton John. Yeah. Yeah.
Anna, this isn't through with you and me. This has only just begun.
Don't worry.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, we love you. Okay, so we learned Chuggy, and another one of our listeners, Erin, decided to send us a What is Chuggy parody song.
Oh, great.
To the tune of Let It Be. And it's two parents who apparently have kids that are Gen Zs. Mm-hmm. And we'll just, it's a 3-minute song. We'll post this for everybody, but we'll just give you a little flavor of what they're doing. It's cute.
We love Gen Z. We're raising two members of Gen Z, but you come up with some interesting words, and it sounds like you're trying to insult
when
us.
When you wear Uggs and use the hashtag #GirlBossEnergy, Gen Z's gonna call you Chuggy. And when you are excited about your family trip to Disney, Gen Z says you're being so chuggy.
I'm chuggy.
Chuggy. Chuggy.
He's got a good voice, doesn't he?
Are they talking?
Yeah, this is the Holderness family.
And if you I guess they do this a lot. They put out a lot of.
Chuggy. Yeah. He's a former news anchor. Voice.
He looks like it.
And if you went to Target and you bought an ironic graphic tee, Gen Z will call you so chuggy.
I love it.
And then they call you chuggy because you're watching Friends on TV.
Chuggy!
Oh, stop. They're coming after Friends. No. You cannot have Jennifer Aniston. You can't have any of my friends. They're my friends.
Chuggy.
It's cute, right?
That's funny. This is the same family that did years ago, probably 7 years ago. He was still a news anchor or just stopped being a news anchor and came out with the Christmas Jammies song that went viral.
Oh, yes.
Are those their Christmas Jammies?
And it was really funny. And then he and his wife were just like, let's just do this full time. And they have a gazillion viewers.
That
and
is
it's very funny.
Incredible.
Yep. It's
wow.
Gone full time, just YouTube.
That's incredible that he gave up a news career
to go and make a lot more money on YouTube and have a lot more freedom and not have to handle really difficult stories.
You got to be super creative like all the time, though, and that can be exhausting, too.
I know, but that's true. But when you don't have a boss that you're dealing with, when it's just like, hey, I just need to go take a walk and write down some ideas.
Yeah.
It just feels like there could be some real freedom there. But you know what you don't have are, you know, like 401ks and health benefits.
That's true.
We're big fans of both.
That's very true. All right. Well, that is linked up for everybody on our show page at mytalk1071.com.
Hope you didn't buy any Bitcoin.
Oh, I didn't. Thank you for asking. I've been waiting.
Well, it's good that you didn't, I suppose. Remember, what's his butt? Elon Musk was on SNL. And then Dogecoin, which he mentioned multiple times, ended up going down in price upon him sort of jokingly calling it a hustle. Well, now Elon Musk, who can really influence the crypto markets, has said some bad stuff about Bitcoin. So in February, Tesla shocked the business world. They said they would invest $1.5 billion in Bitcoin and made plans to accept Bitcoin as payment for its cars. But in a tweet yesterday, CEO Elon Musk said he was, quote, suspending vehicle purchases with Bitcoin due to environmental concerns. The cryptocurrency, which had been failing throughout the day, dropped dramatically in the hours following the tweet. Now, commentators found it odd that Elon Musk, who runs an electric vehicle company with the mission of reducing fossil fuel emissions, wasn't aware of the vast amounts of energy used to mine Bitcoin when he announced Tesla's full-on embrace of the crypto back in February. Tesla still has more than $1 billion in Bitcoin holdings, and Musk said he wouldn't sell anymore. But here's what we've learned, as we like to add layers to what is the very confusing cryptocurrency market. Mining for Bitcoin, whatever that means,
I know, that's where I was like, what?
Has a negative impact on the environment.
Is it because you have to use computer-generated energy?
I guess so. This is like a
grid thing.
I mean,
come
thing.
On. I feel like everybody's high except me. What is this?
That is a great way to describe cryptocurrency. And even when you read an article that explains, oh, well, Bitcoin is just like Elon was doing over the weekend, even when they explain what is Dogecoin, and then he says, what is cryptocurrency? And then he explains it. You still feel like you're only getting some sort of a talking point, not an actual explanation. You know what we need to do? We need to watch like one of those YouTube videos that uses graphics and little cartoons that really help to dumb down complex things. And maybe they could then explain cryptocurrency to us.
Yeah, like in like talk to us like we're third graders.
Lower.
And tell, okay. Talk
lower. To, yeah, I like five as a starting point.
Okay. Yeah, I can't wrap my head around something that I don't understand, something that I have no business knowing about. I don't know, Steve. I don't know.
I don't know. I still want to invest in it. I know that. Not in Bitcoin, but in cryptocurrency.
I don't even know why we need Venmo. Like, why can't we just transfer money from your bank account to my bank account? Like, why do we need this third party? I don't understand.
Sure.
Like, why not cut out the middleman? Because then you'd have my account number, I guess.
That's probably a thing. Yeah. You gotta be worried about. But otherwise, we're doing great.
It just hurts my head.
I know. But don't you have FOMO? Don't you feel like we need to get in?
A little bit.
We gotta do something here.
Yeah. Can you work on that for the show?
No, I can't.
Okay.
Then. I'm gonna have my cryptocurrency fund is gonna be closed. Elizabeth Reese has already said, I want in, let me in. And I said, it's a closed fund. And you can't. You can't come in. I can't be in control of any kind of money that you have. Something's going to go sideways. No, I'm just not doing it.
You need money to buy the money, right?
You need money to buy the money.
So I fork over $10 and then I get so much Bitcoin in return, right?
Sure, yeah.
How much is one Bitcoin worth?
$49,000 as of today.
So I need $49,000 to buy one coin?
Yeah, but you could just buy a fraction of a coin.
All right.
It's like getting into halfpennies.
What?
That's a half a penny.
Oh, God.
Why did I talk about cryptocurrency during the last segment? You know what? Let's take a breather.
Okay.
We'll take 24 hours off.
All right.
Make it 21.
All right.
We'll be back tomorrow at 9. Colleen Bradley next.